Amen. I bring greetings to you from West Monroe, Louisiana. And it's going to be really hard for me to stand, Pastor, right where I need to stand. So we'll get to moving around a little bit, and maybe they can follow me around a little bit, and that'll be fine. But I just know that God is going to do a work in your life tonight. I came with an expectation for God to move in your life tonight. I'm believing God tonight for every need that's represented by way of live stream and those of you that are here in the sanctuary, every need to be met. I'm believing God tonight for everybody in this building that has not already been filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues and power, to be filled to overflowing tonight. The Holy Spirit has laid on my heart to preach tonight on the subject of the baptism in the Holy Ghost. So you're in the right place tonight to receive from God. If you're here tonight, you say, well, you know, Brother Todd, I've already been filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, you need a fresh refilling of the Holy Ghost. Throughout the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament, they were continuously being refilled with the Holy Ghost. So tonight is your night. You're in the right place at the right time to hear the right word for God to do the right work in every area of your life. Amen? Now, since I was here last year, I was in India last year, and thank the Lord for what God did there. We had over 7,000 people give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and get off the road to hell and on the road to heaven. We had a massive outpouring of the Holy Ghost. In fact, we had an individual that had been deaf from birth, that God instantly healed him. In fact, I've got a picture of him right there. This man came forward for healing. He had not heard a thing from birth up until January of last year. God instantly healed him. So, you know, how many of you know we're in the same God that is India is the same God right here. Amen? And He wants to do everything in your life that needs to be done. And so we're so thankful for what God did in India last January. In fact, if you will, mark it on your calendar. Pray for us. I'm going back to India January 20 through 25 in just a few days. We're believing God. I am believing God for in attendance more than 20,000 people based on what we've been seeing God do. This is in South India, in Kerala State, a community called Trivandrum, just outside of Trivandrum, where that we will have a ball field and we will be an open air service. I know that God is going to move mightily. We really need your prayers. Pray for that crusade. It's going to be a pastor's conference during the day with about 500 pastors from South India. And then in the evening, we'll be having evangelistic services. And then when people get saved in the services, which I'm just trusting and believing God for everybody that's not saved to give their heart to the Lord. And so pray with us that God will do that work. And what we do is we section off the entire area so that that holds about 100 people in each section. And as we fill it up, then we open up another section, and that way we can keep track of exactly how many people are in attendance for these evangelistic services. And then when they give their heart to the Lord, we plug them in to the churches of the pastors that are at the pastors' conference during the day. And so it is win-win. We see God set on fire those pastors. And of course, that bleeds into their entire congregations, and then of course it sets their congregations on fire to have a shot of a whole massive amount of people that get off of the road to hell and on the road to heaven in those evangelistic services. So thank you in advance for praying for those services, January 20 through 25. Now I'm going to back up and tell you that my daughter, the last daughter that is not married, got married November 29. I think we've got a picture of our whole family for the. Now her name is Miracle Joy, and I've shared her story here before, how that she weighed 1 pound at birth, dropped down to 12 ounces, And before she started growing, she and her twin sister, Mariah Faith, they are now 29 years old. And on November the 29th, Miracle Joy gave her hand in marriage to a wonderful, mighty young man of God, Philip. And so we're so thankful for that. And so now we've got one more that's not married yet, and that is Luke. He's our oldest. And so we're believing that God is going to put that in place, and that God has the right woman for him. And then we're also praying, Pastor, for grandchildren. I hear all about it, but it hasn't happened yet. And it's time. It's actually beyond time. And so we're trusting for that to happen as well. So please pray for my family while I'm here for these services. And it's always such an honor and a privilege to come and to preach for the 21 days of prayer and fasting for this conference. I tell you, churches across America and around the world need to put the focus and the emphasis on prayer and fasting like Knoxville Christian Center does. You are a part of a phenomenal church where the power of God is flowing mightily. And it's because we here at this church body, Pastor Culberson, the staff, and the team, they allow the Holy Spirit to do what God desires to do. How many of you know that Jesus is still performing miracles, signs and wonders, healing, deliverance, salvation, victory, breakthrough? And I thank the Lord that we're in a place where the atmosphere is prepared for you to receive from God. Amen? Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 1. And don't stand just yet, because I've got one other thing that I want to show to you. And that is, this is brand new. I've never had this in this church before. If you look right here, this is called 101 Questions About the Bible and Christianity. Have any of you ever had somebody come up to you and ask you a question from the Bible that you just were stumped? You did not know what the answer to that was. Well, this is a must. This is so powerful. It is hot off the press. It is absolutely extremely helpful, and it is in, it's not for children, it's for children and young people and adults as well, but it's in comic book form. 101 questions about anything and everything that you would possibly want to know from the Word of God. And so I had, in fact, had one brother before church ask me, will this help me with my wife? And are there any questions about that? And I'm not going to tell you who it was, even though he's smiling and pointing at me. But this really is a phenomenal, phenomenal, powerful gift to give to somebody else. You can get it $40 plus tax in the bookstore, but you can get it on my table for $25. You can't get it anywhere else for that price. And this is absolutely spectacular. You will really, really enjoy this. And then one other thing that I want to give to you, for anybody that purchases anything off of my table, I don't carry any trinkets on my table. Everything on my table is ammunition to help you hit the devil in the head with. And now, Pastor Barry, this one I'm holding in my hand is brand new that we just developed. And about 6 months before Charlie Kirk was assassinated, the Holy Spirit began to deal with me to develop a comic story, a graphic novel on the subject of the truth about transgender ideology. This is it, and we finished this 2 days before Charlie Kirk was assassinated, September the 8th. We finished this, got it hot off the press, and then he was murdered by somebody that was in a transgender relationship. And the question that was being asked of him when he was in that in Utah, in that in the university, was a question about transgender ideology. So this is phenomenal, and it is very timely. It's six pages, and it hits everything that needs to be hit. Here's what I'm going to do: anything you get off my table, I want to give you one of these. I'm going to give you one of these because I need to get this into the hands of as many people as we possibly can. And it is a powerful, powerful tool. We need to reach not only our young people, we need to reach everybody with the truth of God's Word. The truth and the love of God's Word. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Stand with me tonight in reverence to God for the reading of our text. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. But you shall receive power. Say that word with me. Power. Say it again. Power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. How many of you know that includes Knoxville, Tennessee? The title of my message tonight, The Baptism in the Holy Ghost. Remain standing and bow with me for a word of prayer. Holy Ghost, do your work and have your way. I declare the anointing that makes the preaching easy. In the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated if you plan on coming back tomorrow night. Don't miss that service tomorrow night. The power of God is going to flow mightily, so don't miss the Monday night service. You know, I'm afraid that for the past 40 plus years, the truth is many of our Pentecostal churches, including Assembly of God churches, many of them, are at a crossroad. There is something going on in the church as a whole right now, in our Pentecostal fellowships, that is causing people to begin to question the Pentecostal doctrine. Because of the external success of certain evangelical churches that are experiencing tremendous growth, there are emerging pastors and leaders, Pastor Barry, within our Pentecostal fellowships that have begun to question the relevance, the significance of our Pentecostal doctrine. And as a result of it, many of our so-called Pentecostal churches do not allow the Holy Spirit to flow like we do here at Knoxville Christian Center. In fact, many of our spiritual leaders in our Pentecostal churches have begun to preach and teach that speaking in tongues is not the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost, and have begun to question the Pentecostal doctrine. And because of the opinions and beliefs of non-Pentecostals, there are many leaders within our Pentecostal fellowships that have begun to question the Pentecostal doctrine. But I ask you this, why should we change? Why should we change just because non-Pentecostals don't believe what we believe? Why should we change? Listen, the book of Acts hasn't changed. The Word of God hasn't changed. The Holy Ghost hasn't changed. Now, I know we've got some new kids on the block. But with the exception of charismatic worship, and I wonder where they got that from, these non-Pentecostal churches, evangelical, have the same mindset, same opinion, same belief that caused some of you sitting right here to leave those non-Pentecostal churches to come into the fullness of the power of the Holy Ghost. So what needs to be questioned is not the Pentecostal doctrine. But what needs to be questioned is this. Why is it that in so many of our Pentecostal circles, there is such a lack of demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost? This is the exception to the rule, Pastor. This is the exception right here at Knoxville. And so what needs to be questioned is not the Pentecostal doctrine. What needs to be questioned is the lack of demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. I came by here to Knoxville Christian Center during this 21 days of prayer and fasting on assignment. I didn't come here to try to impress you. I didn't come here tonight to razzle dazzle or try to astound you. I didn't bring my best sermon, didn't bring my best message. In fact, I had already the Holy Spirit had already been dealing with me about sharing this tonight. And then I found out through the grapevine that the pastor wanted preaching on the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And I thought, thank you, Lord, because you put all this together. I came by tonight like the psalmist David did in Psalm 71. O God, I've declared thy wondrous works. Now forsake me not until you have shown your strength to this generation and your power to those that are yet to come. At Knoxville Christian Center, it's not time for us to back off of the Pentecostal doctrine. And I know you're not going to. But instead, it's time for us to press in, press on, and pass the power of the Holy Ghost on to our children and our grandchildren. Amen. Hear me. More important than having a large church here. More important than having name recognition in Knoxville. More important than having a successful ministry is to have the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost to be prevailing in and through this church body. Now, it's very important to understand there are two separate and distinct works of the Holy Ghost, young person. One is the new birth. The second work of the same Holy Spirit is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Now, at the new birth, you are given an ability to love God and hate sin. At the new birth, the new birth is described in the Word of God, said, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. The power of the new birth is best described in John 1, 12. Here's what it says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. Say that word, power, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, the word power in John 1, 12 comes from the Greek word exousia or exousia. I never have been quite sure about that, Pastor. It's one or the other. And it literally translates, the word exousia, it literally translates that word power, the right, the privilege, the authority to become sons and daughters of God. So here's what God is saying in John 1:12. He's saying, I've given you the right to become sons and daughters of God. I've given you the ability to love God and hate sin. I've given you the authority to overcome sin. But in John 1:12, he's talking about salvation there. He's not talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, here's the truth. Whenever you give your life to Jesus Christ and get saved, at that point, you are given the Holy Spirit. You're given the Holy Spirit. In fact, Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But hear me tonight. It's God's desire, everybody in this building, for you to not only be given the Holy Spirit at salvation, but in addition to that, for you to be baptized, immersed, submerged, filled to overflowing with the Holy Ghost. A baptism that empowers you to be an effective witness for Christ. So I want us to look at three things tonight with regard to the baptism in the Holy Ghost that are very important. And then I'm going to believe God for all of us in this building, myself included, to be refilled, and for those of you that have never been filled, to be filled up to overflowing with the power of the Holy Ghost. How many of you want everything God has for you? Raise your hand. All of us do. The first thing that I want to point out to you, number one, Jesus, one of his major goals in the ministry when he was here on the earth, it was to baptize people in the Holy Ghost. That's why he came. You remember whenever John the Baptist started his ministry, And he spoke about the coming of the Messiah. And he said, in all four of the Gospels. Now, there are certain things in the Gospels that is in one or two of them or three of them. But this is in all four of them. It's in Matthew 3:11, Mark 1:8, Luke 3:16, and John 1:33. They all say the same thing, basically. That the purpose for the coming of the Messiah was to baptize the believer in the Holy Ghost. Not just give the Holy Spirit at salvation, but to baptize, immerse, submerge, fill the believer with the Holy Ghost. A baptism that would empower you to be an effective witness for Christ. I'm not talking about it in church. I'm talking about at the gas station, the grocery store. Goodness, you ought to see Pastor when we go to Starbucks. I mean, he'll hone in on somebody. And the power of the Holy Ghost flows through him and gives him the words to share with individuals that only God could be speaking to him about it. But everywhere you go, at work, not just at church, this is where you get refueled and refilled. But God wants you everywhere you go to be full of the Holy Ghost. The second thing that I want to draw to your attention that is very, very important about the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And not only is it that one of the major goals of Jesus' ministry was to baptize the believer in the Holy Ghost, but in addition to that, Jesus, when he walked this earth, he didn't even go into the ministry, young person, until he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, when Jesus walked the earth, he was 100% God. And at the same time, he was 100% man. Now, isn't it true that as God, Jesus didn't need to be filled with the Holy Ghost? He was as much God as the Holy Ghost was. But as a man, Jesus, like us, had to be filled with the Holy Ghost to accomplish the work that God had for him to do. There was no other way that it could take place. So at his water baptism, Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the Jordan, and then was led by the Spirit, get that, into the wilderness. So Jesus, he didn't even go into the ministry until after he had been filled with the Holy Ghost. And then from Luke chapter 4 and verse 1 to Luke chapter 4 and verse 14, Jesus went through some things. How many of you know there's nothing like going through some things in your life to bring out the power of God in your life? Jesus went through some things. And so Jesus went into the wilderness. He went through some things. And then the Bible says that whenever he came out of the wilderness, he returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, understand, he got filled with the Holy Ghost at water baptism. But it wasn't until he went through the wilderness and had that wilderness experience that he returned in the power of the Spirit. And the Bible says that a fame went out about him all throughout the region. And then, Jesus began to proclaim. He began to announce. He began to declare the anointing of the Holy Ghost on his life and the purpose for that anointing on his life. And in Luke chapter 4 verse 18, I'm going to sum it up. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, to give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Hear me. Once Jesus got baptized in the Holy Ghost and then with power, when he prayed for people then, he didn't even have to lay hands on them. All he had to do is speak that they were free, and they were free. Free from fear, free from doubt, free from guilt, free from every satanic bondage. Hear me, after Jesus got baptized in the Holy Ghost and with power, I want you to hear me, from that point forward, he didn't just have a good sermon. He didn't just have a good message. He didn't just have good hermeneutics and homiletics and apologetics. He had the dynamite, dunamis, explosive power of the Holy Ghost to back up everything that he had to say. And from that point forward, full of the Holy Ghost and power, He began to heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, all under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Did you know that's for you today too? This brings me to my third point. Jesus instructed His disciples. Now, if you're a Christian, point to yourself and say, it's me. Jesus gave them a command. He gave them a promise. He said, here's what He said to them. He said in Luke 24, He said, don't even go into the ministry until you've been filled, endued with the power from up on high. What makes us think that we can be successful in the ministry in God's eyes without being filled with the Holy Ghost? So Jesus, He gave His disciples, you and me, He gave us a promise. He said, now I've already given you the exousia power of the same Holy Spirit. The right, the privilege, the authority to become sons and daughters of God, to be saved. I've already done that for you. He said, but now I'm going to endue you with power from up on high. Luke 24, verse 49. Here's what He said. Tarry in Jerusalem until you have been endued with the power from up on high. That word endued, it literally translates to be wrapped up, to be clothed in the power of God. And then go back to our text, our main text, Acts 1:8. He said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, including Knoxville, Tennessee. And I want you to hear me today. We need the power of the dunamis, dynamite, explosive power of the Holy Ghost to sweep down through here during this 21 days of prayer and fasting conference. And hear me, if God wants to take over during the offering, let Him take over. If God wants to take over during the preaching, let Him take over. If God wants to take over during the announcements, let Him take over. And it's time for Knoxville Christian Center to cry out tonight and say, God, come down here and baptize us again in the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, it's interesting that the word power is used to here again in Luke 24, 49 and Acts 1:8. The word power is used. But now it takes on a different meaning. You remember in John 1:12, the word power means the right, the privilege, the authority to become sons and daughters of God, right? It's talking about salvation. But now in Luke 24, 49, the word power, and Acts 1:8, the word power, it comes from the Greek word, not exousia or exousia, it comes from the Greek word dunamis. It literally translates, it's where we get our word dynamite. It's where we get our word explosive. It literally translates inerrant power capable of reproducing itself. The same dynamite power that raised Jesus from the dead, hallelujah, would now dwell in you and me, the believer. So then look what happened once the disciples got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Same thing that should happen to us. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody say all. Not just some of them got baptized. I hear some people, they say, well, it's not for everybody. Yes, it is. I beg to differ. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It's for everybody. And it says, and they began to, what's the first thing that happened? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. Yes, the baptism in the Holy Ghost, the initial evidence of being filled, is speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. So they got filled with the Holy Ghost, okay? They got filled, baptized, immersed, submerged with the Holy Ghost. And look what happened. Within 1 hour of receiving the dynamite power, 3,000 people were saved, baptized in water, filled with the Holy Ghost, added to the church. That, my friend, is a Pentecostal move of God, a Pentecostal harvest. So, what happened to them there? What happened? Because they received power, they did, in John 1:12. Oh, but they weren't having those results, were they? What happened? They now had dunamis power added to their exousia power. They now had inerrant power capable of reproducing itself. added to their right, their privilege, their authority to become sons and daughters of God. This is the message tonight. Listen carefully. The purpose for the baptism in the Holy Ghost in your life and mine is to give you a lifestyle of dynamite power to be an effective witness for Christ at work, at church, at home, at the gas station, grocery store, restaurant. Power that produces godly character. Can I hear an amen? Power that produces Holy Ghost boldness. Power that transforms sinners into saints. Power that will cause people to have faith not in men, but in God. You know, I love to preach on the subject of the Holy Ghost. I love to preach in the book of Acts. You know, Pastor Barry, I see one kind of a church in the book of Acts. Just one. I don't see any dead churches. I don't see any traditional churches. I don't see any religious churches. All I see is an apostolic church full of the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost, reproducing the power of God, reproducing the people of God, reproducing the character of God, reproducing results that let people know that God is a sovereign God. He is alive and well, and His power, His dynamite power, has been manifested to destroy the works of the devil in Knoxville, Tennessee. Can I hear an amen? Somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let me show you what God wants to happen here in Knoxville, Tennessee. It's the same thing that happened all throughout the book of Acts. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. Acts 5:28. They filled all Jerusalem with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I want you to picture Knoxville, Tennessee while I'm reading the word of God. Acts chapter 8 verse 8. In Samaria, there was great joy. Acts 13:44. At Antioch, the whole city was gathered together to hear the word of God. Acts 16:20. At Philippi, the whole city was stirred. And Acts 17:6. And I can go on and on and on. But these are whole cities that were affected because of the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost. Acts 17:6. At Thessalonica, the people said, these Pentecostal disciples have turned the whole world upside down for Jesus Christ. And I just came by tonight at Knoxville Christian Center to tell you that we have that same power available to us right here, right now. And what better time than January of 2026 to come into the fullness of being filled to overflowing with the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost for the purpose of reaching this entire area with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I hear an amen? I tell you, I hear Him say, these signs shall follow them that believe. Can I hear an amen? Not just Benny Hinn. Not just T.D. Jakes. Not just Rod Parsley. Not just Pastor Barry Culberson. Not just Tim Todd. But to them that believe. Do I have any believers in the house tonight? He said, in my name ye shall cast out devils. He said, in my name ye shall speak with new tongues. Does it get any clearer than that? He said, in my name ye shall take up serpents. He said, in my name ye shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not harm you. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. I'm afraid that in too many of our churches, we've reduced this thing to the church house. I want you to hear me tonight. The Holy Ghost, God wants you. You see, for far too long in the church, our so-called Pentecostal churches, we've been getting our behinds kicked. And it's time now for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, full of the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost, to rise up and kick some devil behind in Knoxville Christian Center. Amen? Kick some devil behind in Knoxville, Tennessee. The power of the Holy Ghost. Jesus had to have it. Acts 10:38 says, but God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. We're talking about the Son of God. He had to be anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. And He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I want you to hear me. After Jesus got baptized in the Holy Ghost, He didn't just preach a good sermon on Sunday morning. He didn't just heal the sick on occasion. You see, in far too many of our churches, Pastor Barry, we're more concerned about getting out in time to beat the Baptist to the Golden Corral on Sunday morning after church than we are about allowing the Holy Spirit to do what God wants to do, like you did this morning. In too many of our churches, we've got people that, we've got ministers that say, oh, now we'll get you out of here in plenty of time this morning so that you can get some good lunch. Listen to me. And then we'll have a Holy Ghost service tonight. Listen, if the Holy Ghost isn't welcome to move on Sunday night, what makes us think He's going to want to come on Sunday morning? And listen, everywhere Jesus went, He ministered under the power of under the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost. Can I hear an amen? He ministered at the well. He ministered at the wedding. He ministered at the funeral after the man was stinking and in the grave. He ministered everywhere Jesus went, the power of God was manifested. Everywhere Jesus went, the power of the enemy was broken. Everywhere Jesus went, He left no question in anybody's mind that His ministry was from God, anointed of the Holy Ghost. It was evident, it was obvious, it was clear, it was apparent. Not because of what people said about Him, but because He operated under the anointing of the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost. And it was that same dunamis power, that dynamite explosive power of the Holy Ghost, that allowed Jesus to do what God called Him to do. What was that? Reproducing the power of God. Reproducing the people of God. Reproducing the character of God. Jesus had to have the Holy Ghost. And I'm not talking about salvation right here. I'm talking about beyond. I'm talking about being filled to overflowing with the... Are you following me here? The Apostle Paul had to have it. Look at this. This is powerful. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. It says, and the Apostle Paul said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. How many of you know, if you don't know, and I know you do because you've got a pastor that teaches and preaches, the greatest preacher alive. Is that true, Pastor? I knew I'd get him to say amen somewhere along the way. No, a powerful, powerful preacher of the word. But understand that the Apostle Paul, he was very educated. The Apostle Paul, he was full of wisdom. And do you see this right here? He said, whenever I came to you in Corinth, not come with excellency of speech. He could have, but he didn't. He said, I didn't come with excellency of speech. I didn't come with wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, not with persuasive words, not with, in other words, not with seeker-friendly words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, dynamite power. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Hear me. I'm afraid that in too many of our churches across America that claim to be Pentecostal, we have focused much of our attention from the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost to 100% education. Now, please don't misunderstand me. If you are called into the fivefold ministry, I encourage you to get every ounce of education that you can. But it's not your education that changes people's lives. It's the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost that changes people's lives. And the Apostle Paul, he was full of wisdom. He was full of, he could have used his education and his words of wisdom, but he didn't. Because he wanted those people to realize it's the power of the Holy Ghost that changes people's lives. It's not education. He wanted the faith of those people to be in Jesus because He flowed in the gifts of the Spirit and not in their own, in His abilities and giftings and His excellency of speech. So the Apostle Paul went into the city of Corinth. Now, understand here, as we're in this 21 days of prayer and fasting, I'm focusing right here tonight on the fact that I believe that God, it's God's will, for this church body to reach Knoxville, Tennessee. Knoxville, to reach this whole area. This whole area. And I'm showing you, according to Scripture, how that it was done over and over and over throughout the Word of God. And the way that it was accomplished was the recipe is being filled to overflowing with the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost. So the Apostle Paul, he went into the city of Corinth. And the city of Corinth, just to give a little bit of a description, it was a very wealthy commerce center. It was one of the leading centers of Greece. It was a multicultural center. It was a city of many races. There were Greeks, Orientals, Jews, there were Romans, there were probably others. But it was an intellectual city. It was a city of great knowledge. And it was a sinful city as well. The very name, watch this, meant to practice fornication. So here's the Apostle Paul, full of the Holy Ghost. He comes into this educated, wealthy city all by himself. He didn't bring a ministry team with him. The Apostle Paul did not come into the city of Corinth with an armor bearer to carry his briefcase and his Bible. Didn't have any backup singers with him. In fact, I'm just being a little sarcastic there, but he came in there by himself, the city of Corinth. In fact, history records that the people that he stayed with, that the house he stayed in, belonged to unsaved people. So here's the Apostle Paul, full of the Holy Ghost, all by himself, with the exception of the fact that the most important thing, he was full of the Holy Ghost. He goes into the city of Corinth with an attitude like this. God, if we're going to have a Holy Ghost church in Corinth, you're going to have to be the one who does this. So in other words, the Apostle Paul, when he came into the city of Corinth, as educated as he was, he handicapped himself. He limited himself. He did not rely on his excellency of speech or his excellency of wisdom or his education. He didn't try to come in there and be seeker-friendly with the opposition. You know what I mean by that, don't you? He did not come in there and look around Corinth and say, okay, I'm going to need to spike my hair and pierce my tongue and get tattoos all over my body so I can fit in. He did not come in there trying to talk and shop and talk in their language and trying to... Here's what he did do. He came in there full of the Holy Ghost. He did good works. He preached the Word of God, and he succeeded. Now get this. Think about Knoxville. A year and a half after the Apostle Paul was there, a year and a half, he left a church in Corinth full of the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost. He didn't leave a Willow Creek model. He did not leave a traditional church or a religious church or a dead church. He left a church full of the power of the Holy Ghost. And watch this. In the city of Corinth, not only did he leave a Holy Ghost church, but every foul spirit had to bow its knee. A Greek intellectualism had to bow its knee. Jewish pride had to bow its knee. Sensuality had to bow its knee. Sexual perversion in the city of Corinth had to bow its knee. Not to the Apostle Paul, or his education, or his tradition, or his religion, or his intellect, but to the power of the Holy, but to Jesus Christ, because he flowed and operated in the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost. And not just in Corinth, but in cities all across, from the Middle East all the way to Illyricum, were affected and impacted and turned right side up because the Apostle Paul flowed in the gifts of the Spirit, in the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost. You may say, well, that was the Apostle Paul. You have the same power. I have the same power available to us that the Apostle Paul had. We have the exact same dynamite power available to us. And He operated in the gifts of the Spirit, in the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost, to do what God called him to do. What was that? Reproducing the power of God. Reproducing the people of God. Reproducing the character of God. Jesus had to have it. If it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. The Apostle Paul had to have it. If he needed it, I guarantee you I need it and you need it. It's the same power of the Holy Ghost that I have. I was raised, if you've heard my testimony, Pastor shared a little bit of, I think, what was supposed to be part of my testimony a few minutes ago. I thought, man, I'm just kidding. But I was raised in an evangelical church that was not Spirit-filled, okay? The church I was raised in, my dad was a mighty man of God, and he got filled with the Holy Ghost before it was all said and done through our ministry, thank the Lord. But as a teenager, whenever I was a teenager, I'm telling you, I was more than a handful for my family. My dad had the third longest running Christian program on national television in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and early 80s. In fact, at one point, there were three Christian broadcasts on television in the 50s. It was Revival Fires, my dad's Revival Fires, Oral Roberts, and Rex Humbard. You remember that name from way back in the day? And so my dad had the third longest running Christian program on national television. I was raised in a Christian home that was evangelical but was not Spirit-filled. Believed in the exousia, the exousia power of the Holy Spirit to be saved, but not the gifts of the Spirit, not the dunamis power to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So as a teenager, I got as far away from God as a person could get. My dad used to preach crusades, and he would see sons and daughters give their hearts to the Lord, and my dad said that he would go back to his hotel room and just bury his face in his pillow and just cry out to God for my salvation. And it was so heavy for him. I started smoking pot, drugs, alcohol, married the biggest drug dealer in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was as far from God as a person. It looked absolutely hopeless for me. But thankfully, God didn't give up. So one night at a bar, yes, the Holy Spirit used an alcoholic that was drunk to speak to me, a friend of mine. I'm getting drunk at about midnight. A buddy of mine that I'm with, slurring his words, said, "Let's go to church tomorrow. It's a Saturday night." And I'm like, "Where in the world did that come from?" So, I can tell you, at that point, if it would have been a Christian, I wouldn't have even considered it, Lynn. I would not even thought about going to church. But since it was a drinking buddy of mine, and we were both drunk and high, and it's midnight and Saturday night, and so I told him, sure. So we didn't sleep that night. The next morning, we get around, and so I didn't realize it, but he was bringing me, and he wasn't right with the Lord, obviously, but he was bringing me to a Holy Ghost fire-filled church. I had never been in a church where the gifts of the Spirit, I'd never been in a church where they lifted their hands in church. And so, boy, was I in for a surprise, I'm telling you. I walked into that church, and as I'm, you know how it is, how the devil will start playing with your mind. I'd made up my mind as I'm approaching the door, the front door of the church. If they even turn their nose up at me, I'm not going to walk in. I'm going to turn around and walk out. But those people, they love me, the way that I looked, the way that I acted. They greeted me with handshakes and hugs. And I mean, I had the smell of cigarettes, marijuana, alcohol all over my body, my breath. I had a hangover, hadn't had any sleep at all. And here I am now in a Holy Ghost fire-filled church on a Sunday morning with no sleep. So I went in and they began the praise and worship, and I'm sitting about three-fourths of the way back, and immediately people that were wanting to get close to God, Nora, they were lifting their hands to worship God in surrender to the Prince of Peace. Now that really made me feel uncomfortable. Now I was accustomed to lifting my hands and surrender to the chief of police, but never, never in church for the prince of peace. And then some, so here we are in the praise and worship, and then there's people around me that begin they're expressing their heavenly prayer language as they're worshiping the Lord. And I didn't think that much of that. I figured I was in an international church, you know. And they were speaking their own language. And then a woman jumped out in the aisle and she began to dance in the spirit. And I looked at her and I thought, now who is the real drunk here? Is it these people or is it me? And these people weren't drunk as I supposed. They were drunk in the Holy Ghost. I mean, the power of God was flowing. The dynamite power of the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God grabbed hold of my heart. Wouldn't let go. To make a long story short, you know what that means, don't you? When people are wanting to tell you a long story. In the middle of that praise and worship, I jumped out from behind that pew. And I ran as fast as my feet would carry me. And I tell you, at the altar, and thank you for that song, Nora. Something about an altar. When my knees hit the floor in front of that altar, something broke inside of me. And I stayed down on my knees until Jesus Christ came into my heart and saved my soul. And then He baptized me. He immersed me, submerged me, filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I've never been the same since. Amen. So look, what the devil meant for bad, then I was able to go to my parents and express to them and ask them to forgive me for my unforgiveness that I had towards them. And in the midst of that, my mom and my dad gave their life, were filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues and power. And I'm telling you, through my dad's ministry in his latter years, he saw more, millions and millions more that were saved as a result of what God did once he was filled with the dynamite power of the Holy Ghost. I had to have the Holy Ghost to be doing what God has called me to do. At this point, we've seen more people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and healed and delivered and set on fire through the ministry that God has called us to in 38 years. And it's all because I allow the Holy Spirit, the dynamite power of the Holy Spirit, to flow. And God's no respecter of persons. It's not because I'm in the fivefold office. This is a gift for everybody. Jesus had to have it. You need to have it. The Apostle Paul had to have it. You need to have it. I had to have it. You need to have it. It's for you. In fact, it's a free gift. It's a free gift and it's a promise. Acts chapter 2 and verse 39. It says, "For the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." God's got your phone number tonight. He's calling you. Every young person in this building, every adult, every college age, every child in this building. I've seen people 4 and 5 years old get filled to the overflowing with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. God wants to fill every one of us up to overflowing. If you've already been filled, He wants to refill you. Listen, it's not a matter of polishing things up. And I'm not saying that we should not do things with excellence. We should always do things with excellence. But hear me, it's not our excellence that transforms lives. It's not. It's not our excellence that changes people's lives. It's the power of the Holy Ghost. The dynamite power of the Holy Ghost that changes people's lives. Lift your hands all over the building.